You do it.
Hey, good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. You heard of Urban Float? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli and the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1, good morning. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Super. Awesome. Fantastic. All of those adjectives.
Wonderful.
So introduce yourself. Good morning.
Hi, everyone. This is Joni DeCampley from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Well, welcome, Joni DeCampley.
And thank you for having me.
So pull the mic. So talk right into the front of it. There you go. So we can hear every...
Okay.
You hear yourself?
Yes, I do.
Sounds good?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Well, good morning. So you reached out to me, a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And your product, I was like... And we were just talking about this, and I was like, we can't talk about this. Let's talk about this on the podcast. But you are selling or creating or supporting. What is it?
Both. I created a product.
You've created it.
And I'm helping others through it.
You're helping others. So the product that you describe it, so okay. I don't butcher it.
Okay. So this is how my product all started. It's called Boobalicious, which is the all-natural breast deodorant for under-boob sweat. It's an embarrassing issue no one likes to talk about,
right.
But it happens to us women that struggle with it.
Right.
I was laid off from a good-paying job at Pat's Aircraft, and I was working in a boutique retail store. It was a hot summer night. And I had that awful boob sweat. And I was mortified in that moment. And I turned to my coworker and I said, there should be a breast deodorant. And I'm going to create it. And I'm going to call it Boobalicious.
Well, and I think when we first just started, when you reached out and proposed the idea, I was like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, you know what? That's what this podcast is about. One small business helping another, regardless of the business. I mean, unless it's like, you know, something that's, you know, terrible or whatever. But, you know, it's always, to me, it's about sitting on your couch and going, gosh, I'd love to start my own business, but I'm afraid or I'm scared. And then you get to hear testimonials of people just like ourselves who went through the same thing but took that step off the couch and made that leap of faith and went with it. And regardless of the success, I always say it's the fulfillment, right? It's just...
Without a doubt.
You get up every morning and you know I'm just working towards a goal and you love it. Regardless if everyone loves the idea or not. Usually, and honestly, in the beginning, it can be a little disheartening, you know?
Yes.
Because your friends, I always say, never rely on your circle of friends. As much as supportive as they are, but you still, you know, like I'll do something and I'll say, hey, did you check out what I did? Oh, maybe I was going to check it out this weekend. And you're like, this is my best friend. And you're like, so... It's a tough road.
It's very tough. This has been almost 7 years for me, and I'm starting to make progress, leaps and bounds, and I'm so excited. So you need to stick with what you want to do because it will happen.
Well, and I had to make a little bit of an apology because I had a little judge. I was a little judgy.
That's okay.
But then I had to realize that this is what my job is to help small businesses, because this is all I can do. This is the best I can do to help is create a podcast and have people on to share their story, and maybe we can inspire somebody else that wants to try to do a project or a dream or a vision.
Absolutely, and that's what I do. I help others that reach out to me and help them get started, how I got started. I had no idea how to start a business or let alone make a deodorant, all-natural breast deodorant. I Googled everything. Google was my best friend.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we start from the beginning? So you had a little sweat.
I had a little sweat.
And you were going to solve it.
I solved the problem.
You solved it.
I solved it. And what I did before, like for almost 6 months, I interviewed all the women that came into the boutique to see would they be interested in this product, because it didn't exist. I think there was one other one that exists, and it is called Fresh Breasts. And I didn't know that till after the fact, till I started researching on Google. My husband said, stop talking about it and just do it. So my stepmom sent me a check for $75 because I was laid off. and said, if you don't do it, you'll never know. So I just started.
$75?
$75 I started this company with.
You know, and that's, and it's funny because we start, you know, we think about the amount of money that people spend, yes, the amount of money that's out there, and, you know, a $75 start. And I bet that felt like $1 million.
It did. And with that $75, I bought the ingredients, raw material. I bought the containers and I bought labels and I put it all together. And even though it sounds so easy and simple, it was a struggle. It was tough. I couldn't do labels for almost 2 weeks. I cried. I walked away. But you just have to keep on going back. Even the little things that you think you can't do, I YouTubed it. I got the labels done, and Boobalicious was born.
Well, I love that. I mean, I really, you know, regardless of what we're making, I just, that it's always that scary moment, and you work through it. I always say that's when the miracle takes place. And, you know, you said you've been working at this for 7 years. You know, it's funny when you work at something, and then you see someone, they go, well, look at you. You really made a product. I didn't know you were doing that. And you're like, yeah, I've been doing it for 7 years. I've been grinding away at this.
Well, you see success stories and you think, wow, how did they do it? But they did the same thing I'm doing, the sweats and the tears and the struggles and, everything that goes with entrepreneurship. They struggle too, but you just don't see the back end of it.
So your husband was the guy that pushed you.
He did.
I had, and I've told the story before, and I like to share, you know, corporate always says, you just like to share your story when you have people on. And I do like to, but, you know, I like to relate.
It's important.
And I had, you know, you had your husband. There was a guy named Matt Haley, and he, same sort of conversation. And he said, dude, do you want to do this or not? And I said, I do. And he goes, then go do it.
Yes.
Or shut the F up.
Exactly.
And he pointed me to a bank. He pointed me to people to talk to. I mean, you had your $75, but did you reach out to a bank? Did you try to get a business loan? Did you have to build a business plan? Did you do all of that?
Honestly, I didn't. I took baby steps, mm-hmm, and I did it step by step. When I got the Boobalicious together, I went to a farmer's market. It was called Hooked on Plants.
Yeah.
And I went in there with a pink basket, had no idea what I was doing, and there was a customer there by the name of Charlie. I always talk about Charlie. He's still my best fan. And he was asking me, what is this? And I explained, it's a deodorant for boob sweat for women who sweat. He said, well, my wife goes to the gym and she sweats unbelievable, so I'm going to buy two. So I asked the store owner, out of respect, can I sell these to him in your store? And of course, they said yes. And they took the basket and they sold my Boobalicious in their store and it sold out.
Now, I as I've gotten older, you're getting older,
mm-hmm,
you know, we start to think, you know, some of these things I think are important, like sweating.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to eliminate sweat.
Mm-hmm.
So are we eliminating sweat? Or are we just making the area that is sweating a little more comfortable?
That was a great question, because we don't want to clog our pores.
We don't.
No. So it helps prevent half the sweat.
Okay.
And then, you know, some of my customers, they do get an odor and they're, you know, embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have different scents and I get so many compliments and reviews on Etsy that they feel more confident, they feel more comfortable, and how much they love my product and they thank me for coming up with this idea.
Well, and I think we're living a time right now where, you know, I guess ideally we all want to be thin.
Yes.
And skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us just aren't.
Yes.
You know, why?
Just be you.
We're just, yeah, we just be you. And,
just be you.
You know, some people have, you know, I was walking, I don't know what I was doing. I was walking somewhere around a lot of people and I thought, you know, we all hide under our clothes. You know, our clothing kind of equalizes all of us. You
yes.
know? But if we all walked around naked, you know, a lot of people deal with different, you know, whether it's bruising or sores or, you know, skin chafing or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
It is. And, you know, it's all kind of like our little secret, you know, because we can hide behind our clothes.
Exactly.
And I know that luckily I'm not heavy. I've had moments where I've been a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, when they create, like, talcum powder, a lot of people used to use powder to kind of almost dust their rubbing parts, you know?
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
You know, but then we're finding out that powder might not have been good for us, right?
That's true.
And that's so, and I like when you mentioned that it's all natural.
It's all natural.
Do you want to talk about the natural?
The natural with the ingredients that I use.
Sure, absolutely. Let's promote all of it.
Yes. And, you know, one thing when Googled, like we're talking about this embarrassing issue, when I Googled boob sweat, there was like one page. Now when you Google it, there's over 20 pages.
Yeah.
So over the years, it's known now and people are starting to talk about it. So with my ingredients, I use arrowroot powder, organic cornstarch, organic coconut oil, shea butter, essential oils.
Did you bring any
products? I think I might have one in the
car. I wanted to see it. Is it a roll-on? Is it a stick? Is it a spray?
Is it a fluffy powder
with a nice dust puffer thing?
It's actually a deodorant that you would see in a supermarket, like a regular deodorant tube, oval shape, 2 ounces. It looks just like a deodorant that you glide on.
So to me, I would think, because we have deodorant, right?
Correct.
We're preventing sweat from all sorts of spots, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You would think that you could just take, an underarm deodorant and just wipe it under your boob. But the boob is a
sensitive area.
It's a sensitive area.
And you don't want to put all those chemicals
in. Because, you know, obviously we deal with, you know, breast cancer and stuff. And that, what I think would be the one thing that we don't, you know, want to promote, obviously. I don't know if that even does promote. We don't get underarm cancer.
Well, you know, now that you said that, I have a local friend. Her name is Beth. And I saw her on Facebook. She had breast cancer and now she's cancer free. So that's a wonderful thing. And I created a Boobalicious breast deodorant just for her.
Nice.
And what I did, I eliminated the lavender essential oil because that may cause a rash for very sensitive skin and what she was going through. I eliminated that. And it's called Beth's Boobs in honor of Beth.
Nice.
And she actually used it. And it took her radiation rash away, and the doctor could not believe it. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I can't claim that this does this for everyone,
of course. I get that.
But I just did an interview with her a couple weeks ago on Facebook Live, and she talked about how the Boobalicious impacted her.
That's amazing, you know. And in the beginning, I make a lot of products. I make Harrigan's, I make Dr. Endmender, I have Text Me, I mean, you know, in the hair business, because I do, you know, own a hair salon.
Yes.
So I get the opportunity to make products. And, you know, I try to pay attention to the ingredients and that kind of stuff. But since I make it, it seems to make it no good in people's eyes. Like, oh, you made that? I don't know. Maybe I'll go with, you know, something else. I'm like, why? I mean, I'm personally invested in this product. I picked it. I smelled it. I made sure, you know, I looked at the ingredients. Usually anything that I get involved in is usually because I want to try to be able to provide something to my clients at a reasonable cost, you know. And so I know in the beginning, I give a lot of stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, take it. If it works, you can come pay me. If it works and you don't want to pay me, don't even pay me.
Mm-hmm.
But just take it. You know, does it make you happy? Are you doing that? Are you giving these things away? Not that you have to.
No,
but you know, you almost have to start. You know, when I first started doing hair, Drexel used to tell me, he says, you can come, because I was in hair school, and he's like, you can work on Sundays, you can cut people's hair, you can color it. I would give the haircut away for free, and I would give the color away for free, or not for free, for $10, and that covers his cost. And I was like, and back in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not making any money doing that. But I was building up humility.
Correct.
And I was believing in what I was doing enough that I would give it away, hoping that since I thought I was doing a good enough job that people would share their experience and then I would start to build a book. And that's exactly how it happened.
And that's exactly what I did. I gave a lot away.
Right.
And I worked at an Army office and the lady used to clean the office. I gave her one and she came back like a week later and she said, Joni, not only did this help my sweat, it took a rash away that I had. And again, I can't claim it works for everyone. But I was like, wow, that's a bonus because I had no idea that would happen.
Well, and I think we get a lot of rashes from like chafing and rubbing and, you know, funky material and weird detergents and, you know, who knows. But when you get hit with something, you're like, whoa, what have I done?
Exactly. So that was like, wow, that's a bonus for my product. And like I said, I gave a lot away and I put it on Etsy. Someone told me, put your Boobalicious on Etsy. I never heard of Etsy.
I've never heard of it. What's Etsy?
Etsy is like an eBay, but people make homemade things.
Okay.
So I put it on Etsy, And within a week, I was selling it. Within a couple months, I was getting recognized on Allure Beauty Online, Cosmo in the Philippines, Cosmo in New York, ABC News. Some of it was negative press, but that negative press was actually a positive thing for me. So sometimes negative can be a positive thing.
Well, now, do you want to share what was negative or what? Did you have to do something another look at something?
It was an article in the Daily News in the UK, and they were saying, how stupid are we? Who's going to wear breast deodorant? Well, within a week, I was international from that article.
So that was just someone's personal opinion.
Exactly.
So that's kind of like I said. When you reached out, I was like, what? What? But I don't have breasts, and I don't have, that's not a problem I deal with. So I'm right away, I'm like, well, I don't see why this is important. I can't judge on the business. I like to promote that people are trying to do business.
Exactly. And again, this is not a subject us women talk about because we're embarrassed by it. And, right. and there's thousands, if not millions, of women that suffer from it. I had a customer from Australia, and she had, the sweat, the rash, the odor, everything. Mm. And she wrote me, and I said, I can't promise you anything, because she was doing prescription cream, and it was expensive. So she bought 6 of them. I shipped it to Australia. A week later, she wrote me a long letter, how confident, comfortable, how great she feels, and how well it works for her.
Well, I tell you what, if you're up and running, I'd sell it through the salon.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I am up. We're actually looking at co-packers right now.
And I don't need anything, whatever
I would love that.
Whatever, I don't need a cut, I don't need a slice. I mean, whatever I can do to, get you going.
I would actually love that, because we have fun names with the deodorant, and I have fun with it. And, I give back, if I can tell my story, when I was making...
Absolutely.
I was making Boobalicious.
You got an hour, honey.
Well, I was making Boobalicious, and like I said, I was getting all this great feedback from magazines online. I was getting blogs. But in the meantime, in 2014, 2015, I had 3 children. I have 2 adult children. One has mental illness and addiction, and one's an alcoholic. So my daughter came to me, said she needed help. And, of course, I was laid off, did not know how I was going to pay to get her the help she needed. But then I was making Boobalicious, and I was making money on Etsy. I was making good money. Mm-hmm. So everything I made on Etsy helped my daughter go to recovery in Florida, her travel expenses, buy a car so she could get around to her therapy appointments and work. And then my son, who came to me a year later, who has is an alcoholic, I helped him. He did get a DUI. He went to jail for it. Mm. And I paid for his lawyer and got him in the best rehab that I could find in Allentown, PA, called White Deer Run.
Nice.
And at that moment, like about a year and a half later, they're both in recovery, and it was like a Oprah Yahoo moment. Like, Boobalicious has a purpose,
right?
And I wrote a story how I want to help others, pay for 1 month's sobriety living, because they have to be held accountable. You can't pay for everything, right. And travel expenses. So my daughter went to a place called Miracles Do Happen in Delray, Florida. And at the end of the month, I will be helping a family. I saved my own money, no donations. And I'm going to scholarship a girl for 1 month's rent and airfare. And I'm also working with a facility in Delray, Florida, called Wayside. And the woman in recovery, they're going to be selling Boobalicious on eBay. And they're going to get 50% of everything to help women in recovery at Wayside. And these are the places my daughter went, 5 years sober. My son is... He goes back and forth, a year sober, 2 years sober, but he's struggling, but he's working on it himself. It is a struggle. It's not a quick fix, because if you have a child or anyone you love with addiction, it's not a quick fix. And they're going to relapse, and you have to be patient and just love them and just support them the best you can. So Boobalicious for me is a purpose, and that's why I'm so passionate about it.
Yeah, it's supporting addiction is tricky.
It's very
subject.
Tricky, yes.
Because I'm sober. Mm-hmm. I'll celebrate 10 years in December. And part of me tends to believe that I kind of became the way I was because I had so much help from my parents.
It's important.
Well, like as in a negative way. Like they gave me so much help that I never really was like, you know what, I need to do this on my own. So listen, I'm whatever works. I'm not.
I get that.
I can't judge. I just know. I just had a guy reach out to me about wanting to get sober, and I was like, dude, you got to. It has to be something you want. There's no tricky speech. There's no magical.
You have to thought. Want it.
You know, it's if you don't want to drink, then don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a meeting.
Yes.
Call me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I told him. He was like, oh, I need. I said, call me tomorrow, and you know, when you haven't been drinking, and we'll figure out what we can do. And I didn't get a phone call, so.
You know, I get that because my daughter, I told her, you know, I enable you so much that I can't help you anymore because I'm not helping you. So
right.
You need to help yourself. And that was, you know, the conversation. And then within a week, she was on the plane helping herself. And now today, 5 years sober. And right. Now she's helped getting involved with doing the scholarships with me. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm excited about it. And again, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and you need, you know, it's so important to invest in yourself.
Yes.
And to network. And I've been to California, Florida. I go to all the networks. And from networking, I have a partner and investor now. And he put me on Amazon Prime. I have a website now. So things are really happening.
What sets your product apart from, did I hear you mention there was another product similar to what you're doing?
I have two other products.
No, I thought you said there was another Boobalicious.
Oh yes, there's actually it's called Fresh Breast.
Fresh Breast,
and that was the only product that I knew of for boob sweat, and now there's others out there now.
Yeah,
there's Mega Babe, there's Loom, so there's other deodorants. But I don't worry about the competition because right. Everyone needs to be successful. It's not about me; it's about everyone being successful. There's plenty of people in the world to be successful.
Well, I know that, like, you know, when you're in the shampoo game, like I am, you know, yes. Obviously shampoo's been around way before I was even alive.
Correct.
And you know, it's a big uphill battle, especially when you're dealing with like big corporations that can just boob sweat's now the thing. Let's throw $1 million at that. And you're like, well, geez, I'm just doing this out of my kitchen. But, you know, I like to think that, like, my shampoo's a little different because I feel like it's a little more concentrated. You don't have to use as much. It lasts longer. Better ingredients. I always say that you could take my shampoo, split it up 4 times, and then add all the filler ingredients that the big corporations add and make 4 bottles of shampoo with just one of mine.
Exactly. I know so, what you're saying.
You know, something has to separate. I mean, are you on the more all-natural kind of train?
I'm on the all-natural train.
I would think that would be the direction you would have to go. Is that you stand out alone?
Well, I stand out not only because of the name is unique, Boobalicious. I mean, it's very catchy.
Yeah.
And then people want to know about it. First, they're like, kind of like you were, but then when I talk about it and what it does, they're like, wow, that makes sense. I get it now.
Yeah, and I don't know what I was. It wasn't, I just didn't know.
You weren't
like
sure.
Like I told you earlier, anything that has to do with a boob, I have to just think twice.
Yes,
because
I understand.
Have to think it through. I have to think the drink through, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I don't need a bunch of boobs out, you know, applying products. I'm 51. I've gone down the wrong path several times. And now I just need.
No, I understand.
I just
completely.
Have to be guarded.
Yes.
But the reality is that whether it's Boobalicious or Footalicious or whatever.
Exactly.
It's small business.
It's a small business.
And I love the story. I love the fear, the being scared. You know, we started doing podcasts and then we started, you know, the network and then we started bringing in people doing podcasts and, you know, I would have conversations with people that wanted to do podcasts and we would come up with a plan and then the next day they would be like, I barely slept. All I did was think about doing this podcast and, you know, it just gets those wheels turning. And I love that with any, whether it's podcasting or small business, you know, but how do you stay kind of in the moment? Because I know that you could probably lay in bed and envision being a zillionaire.
I stay in the moment. Well, you know, I have a journal and I write in it every day my goals.
That's a good idea.
And it really works. I write the same goals down every day.
Like a daily goal.
It's a daily goal. I write it down, or the same goal every day.
I remember Carlos said, what do you want to make a business, to work at or sell? And I'm like, I guess I'm the kind of guy that makes a business to work at.
Correct.
You know, because it keeps me in the moment. Because when I'm building a business to try to sell, I'm not in the moment. I'm in the future. And it's like me with a driver. You know, I'm like, hey, all of a sudden I'm a billionaire. And I don't think that that's my destiny.
That's not my destiny. It's not about the money. I mean, we all want to have freedom and be successful, sure. But to me, it's about the customer. It's about the people I'm going to help in the future. And that drives me. My children are my biggest motivation because I'm so blessed that they're sober and they're here, that my motivation, they drive me to do what I do to help other families.
So your children drive you?
Without a doubt.
Nice. Well, I have three kids, and I end up driving them everywhere.
That's good.
Thank you. You left that open for me. So I just. So what's the future? I mean, so where are we going big time? When are we going to start manufacturing it? What's going on? What's the?
Well,
what did we write in our book this morning?
Well, that was one of my goals, and I was in Florida, and I took the opportunity, and I visited a manufacturer company called Nardo Skincare, and they were on Shark Tank 10 years ago. Barbara Cochran invested in them, and their four brothers are from Upper Marion, Pennsylvania. So I went to the their lab, their storefront, and we talked about manufacturing Boobalicious there. And we had my partner and I have a phone call with them next week, and there's another one we're going to talk to. So it's like very close that we're going to get this into manufacture. It's very close, and my dream is actually happening. And along the way, I was also, you know, Shark Tank did call me in 2014. I interviewed for them. They did not pick me. But, you know, at that time, I wasn't ready. I was so focused on my children with their addiction. I wouldn't have been ready. So things happen for a reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what happens at Shark Tank. I've read things. I haven't read all of the most positive stuff about that process. You know, they tend to take you, you know, they know you're desperate. They know you're excited, passionate, a lot of emotions.
Yes.
And then they kind of bend you over.
You know.
And they take some shark bites out of your ass.
I kind of read that too. And I hear both, you know, good and bad. Like I said, I network and I invest in myself all the time. And on Facebook, it's called Pitch Investors Live. And anyone out there that's an entrepreneur, if you have a product or service, you join this app, Pitch Investors Live. I was actually pitched by Kevin Harrington, the original Shark Tank. And Brian Harrington, his son. So, you know, and also, you know, it's connections. And someone from QVC called me last week. So,
okay.
So we'll see what happens with that. You know, no promises. But, I mean, I'm getting these little bites that eventually are going to happen.
So if someone, let's say QVC, yeah, we're interested. You know, one thing about QVC... And Walmart is another one. You know, the pitch to Walmart. I've read and seen... you know, kind of documentaries mm-hmm. of the process of, you know, pitching to both of those places. And if they pick you, it's a game changer. I mean, literally, you better have like a million of these things to sell because they will go through it.
Yes.
Are you ready?
You know what? You're never ready for anything. You just do it. You just do it. So when that time happens, we will be ready. You know, I have a great partner, investor who's been down the road. He's has, you know, quite a few businesses and, you know, he saw my story. He liked my product. He liked how persistent and determined I was to get to where I'm at on my own with right. $75. So he knew he could invest in me, and it's a great partnership.
I partnered up with a guy. Well, he's my friend, but he, you know, we're partners. And, you know, I create, but I can't finish. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the guy, you know, I'll come up with a plan, I'll make something, but I don't really know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And corporate is like, you know, this is what we need to do. This is the guy that's going to bring us, you know, he knows how to cross the T's and dot the I's. And it's been really nice to kind of partner up with him because I do make businesses to work at till I die. And he's like, you know, let's make a business that, you know, might create some value maybe one day that we could pass along or step back and watch it kind of run itself. And I really like the idea, but I'm not capable of doing that. So it's nice to have a great partner.
It is. It is great because I can do the planning. I'm the creative side of it. And he is the business consultant side, you know, of it. So he helps me out so much. So we complement each other very well.
Nice. Sorry, I ran this morning, and I'm like, I'm, I've, I, I, I had, like, my nose starts running all of a sudden. I ran this morning and my nose is still running. But so where do you live?
I live right by the Big Fish Grill.
Oh, down in Rehoboth.
Yep, my favorite restaurant, right by in that area.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been down here?
10 years. We're originally from Delaware County, Ridley Township, and we moved here 10 years ago. We wanted to raise our youngest son, who is 15. He goes to Texas Tech.
Okay.
Football player, honor roll student. He's doing great. So we wanted to raise him at the beach.
So you say that you're using some of this money to help people with addiction.
Yes.
That's tough, right? Because
it is tough.
Sometimes the more help, the less it helps. Sort of. There was a guy, I forget his name. I know his name, but I'm not going to say it. But he posted on Facebook that he's very involved in recovery, and he's like, we should build a facility where homeless and addicts can go and relax and watch TV and take showers and, like, have a social environment and a place, you know, that they can, you know, have some comfort. I'm like, well, part of me is like, why?
I have to agree. You know, to a certain, you know, I do agree for the only reason is, you know, they, you know, when you're an addict, and I'm not one, so I don't understand, but I do from my two children, that you need structure, you need discipline, you need to go to a meeting every day.
You need desire.
You need desire, absolutely. So,
because I remember when I first got sober, or when I used to say that I didn't want to get sober, I just wanted to stop getting caught, because I loved doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. The only problem is nobody else did. That was addiction. It was me trying to maneuver to do what I wanted and not get caught by them, those who didn't want me doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And until that changed, it didn't work. Nothing worked. AA didn't work. Psychology didn't work. Rehab didn't work, because it was basically just moments for me to get the heat off me. You know, I'd get to that point in the corner, and then I'd be like, well, I'll try AA, or I'll try, you know, a rehab or something. And then I'd be like, yeah, rehabs don't work. I didn't want to get sober.
You just did it to please everyone, to get off your back.
Exactly. And it wasn't until I got my ass kicked, and I was so embarrassed and ashamed of what I had done, not what I'd done, just that I got punched,
mm-hmm.
that I hid in a hospital for 5 days doing the same thing. But for some reason, that time I was like, I think I'd had enough. And then all of a sudden it worked. AA was great. It was a miracle. And the reality was is that I had to be ready,
yes,
and available. And it's tough, you know, dealing with that, because you're talking sometimes to, it's going in one ear and out the other. But you're putting a lot of effort into it, and sometimes the return is minimal, mm-hmm. and it can be discouraging. So I'm always thinking, well, how can you help, you know, help provide a place for people to stay that are struggling? But then you're kind of giving them, I mean, if you can be an addict and being a drunk and then still go to a place and relax and have lounge chairs and, you know, what makes you want to change it, right?
Exactly.
So how do you pick and choose how to help?
Well, you know, I was just talking to my daughter the other night about this same question. So she's personally, you know, this wayside facility where they have inpatient, she's going to, you know, talk to the woman there and basically interview them and see what their desire is. So we're going to, like, kind of, like, see, first of all, they don't, you know, they can't have, like, money, because I want to help someone that doesn't have the money to get the help.
Right.
And they have to have the desire, like you said. And my daughter is going to interview everyone there and feel them out, because she, you know, she knows that you need that desire. She knows she's been there. So, you know, I trust her to interview these women that really need it and they really want it, and we'll go from there. So she's kind of, I don't know what the right word is, feel them out, or, you know.
She's going to screen them.
Screen them. She's going to screen them to see, you know, and that's how we just discussed that the other day. How do you pick them? How, you know, we have to screen them.
Well, we don't have a lot of, when I first got sober, we used to take meetings into the jail. We took meetings into, Ellendale had a rehab at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We used to take meetings in there. And, you know, there was a lot of effort. You know, I had to put a lot into it to try to get something out of it. And we don't have those facilities. But then we do a podcast called Anonymous, An Honest Look at Recovery with mm-hmm. Jenna, and which I love. I love.
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, she does a great podcast and keeps it all anonymous. Mm-hmm. And But she was telling me that there's a facility now across from Dell Tech in Georgetown that's now taking people. I don't know how it's working.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's free or whatever, but there is a facility that's helping people because for, you know, they closed down Ellendale. So for a long time, that there was really nothing out there. So I'm hoping that that program is going to start providing some help. Maybe that might be a program that you can...
Oh, well, definitely. Yeah,
it's across from Dell Tech. I'll have to find it.
Yeah, give me that information because I want to help as many as I can. This is just the beginning. This is a start.
Well, I was going to say even maybe just provide meals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've done that.
You know, my buddy Matt used to say, you know, if you want to get sober, drink a lot of water. Well, first, don't drink or don't use. Yeah. Drink a lot of water, go for a walk, eat really great food, and go to a meeting. And, you know, sometimes maybe, I know just for me, like if I haven't eaten well, I feel kind of crummy. And, you know, the halt, hungry, mm-hmm. angry, lonely, tired, you know, they're all four triggers for a lot of people in recovery. You know, if you get too hungry or you're angry and you can't figure out those emotions, sometimes it'll give people the green light to go use. And so, you know, maybe through nutrition. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are struggling in those areas are struggling usually with the nutrition as well. You know, they don't have a lot of money for good food.
Exactly.
So maybe that might be a direction that you can go, whether they want to get sober or not. Nutrition, hydration, rest. You know, there's a lot of the foundations
for... Yeah, I'll have to look into that for sure.
...for helping people because you can't give an addict money.
No, you cannot.
You can't give... I mean, you know, and there's a lot of places around... This was a conversation I was having the other day, is that there's a lot of places for people that are struggling, like that are homeless, but they require you to not use.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people choose to use... And then they lose that opportunity.
Yes.
So it's a choice they're really making.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, that's exactly their choice. And you can't help them if that's their choice.
You
and
can't
they're
help
not going to change.
Exactly. But maybe I know Epworth helps with food. It is strange. You know, there were some places along Route 1 that were some homeless people were living in. And they got moved out.
Yes, I remember that.
And I run that. Road. I run Route 1.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that whole area was just full of trash. Full of trash. I mean, it was absurd. And that's when they built that new hotel and they kicked everybody out of the woods and they cleaned it all up and it was clean.
Uh-huh.
And then the hotel got built and everybody kind of started focusing on the other things. And I think slowly people are moving back in the woods. And now there's just all this trash. So I'm always wondering, you know, if you're going to I guess as for me, I'd be like, listen, if I'm inconveniencing anybody, I want to try to make the least inconvenience that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not going to dump trash on the ground or something. And I wonder, you know, why? Sometimes I think folks that are doing this or living this way just like living like that.
And they're the ones, unfortunately, cannot help.
You can't help them.
You can't help them. But there's a whole bunch you can help.
I've gone to a lot of meetings, and I know that if someone wants to get sober, and I always say, if anybody ever wants to get sober, reach out. I'll give you my 5-minute speech, mm-hmm. you know, of what I did. I'll share my story. If you're really interested, I'll share my, you know, my whole story. And I'm always have my hand out to help anybody. That's my job, you know, after, you know, however many years of working on recovery and being involved, that 12th step is, you know, after completing all these steps, you know, my job now is to be there for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, just to be there.
Absolutely.
And I always say I'm always here for anybody that would like help. But I can't fix you.
Exactly.
And like I told the guy on the phone, he gave me 100 reasons why he's going to get sober. And I said, well, you didn't mention the main one that I'm looking for, and that's that you'd like to be sober.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a real difference between getting sober for your kids or getting sober for your parents or getting sober for yourself.
Yeah.
And usually those people that want to get sober for themselves, they lower their standards and they become a little bit more compatible mm-hmm. and with the idea. And, you know, it takes a journey. And,
it is a journey. And so, you're on the addict side of knowing what it's like, and I'm on the parent side of going through the grief and the ups and downs. And I try to help parents understand, well, you know, it is hard, but just don't give up on them.
Well, and you know, my son, I have a 14-year-old, and he's just starting to find some interest in girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say my first drug was, I won't say her name, but was my first girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first introduction to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because she made me feel smarter. She made me feel like I was funnier, faster, taller, you know, important.
Mm-hmm.
It was all of that. And I'm looking at him kind of getting involved with texting, and I see it, you know, that, you know, just that, you know, the focus.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, dude, you know, I think you should no more texting after 9. How about 10? I go, 10? Like, you're supposed to be in bed already, I thought.
My son does it too.
So, you know, it's not in a form of something illegal. But it's still, it can create shame, it can create guilt, and it can also take you to a place, it can take you higher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't pay much attention to it. But in the end, I think that was really my first introduction to addiction. And then it would go into, like, pot and alcohol and food and all sorts of different things. But it's that gluttony, it's that self-centered, gluttonous mm-hmm. life, right?
Yep.
Whether it's women or drugs or food or money.
It's that addiction.
And, you know, especially I think with people that start small business, we can kind of get a little, I know I shouldn't speak for everyone, but I know for me, I can go out there a little bit. You know, I become this, you know, millionaire and this amazing guy. That's why I don't play the lottery.
Yeah. Well, you know, being an entrepreneur, you know, of course I dream big, my vision's big and I believe in it.
What is your vision? When do you sit back and put your coffee on the armrest and say, okay, I can relax?
My vision's big, like, you know, what we just talked about through mm-hmm. Boobalicious, of helping families and having organizations and just
in grocery stores and all around the world.
Or
still keeping it small, but still out there.
No, I want to keep it. I want it big.
You want to go big.
I want to go big and help families around the world. And because that's how I feel, because, you know, like I said, I'm so blessed to have my children that I need to go big.
Are you more excited about helping the proceeds that come from this product, helping families? Or helping boobs?
Honestly, families, because okay. that's my purpose. Like, you know, I love my product, don't get me wrong, and I love doing it every day. I love making it, and I absolutely have a passion for my product. But until I found my purpose is more important.
How come bigger companies don't help out like that?
That I don't understand. I mean, some do, they just don't talk about it.
You think they become... You know, we have like you and we start off small and then it becomes bigger and then all of a sudden bigger companies get involved and then it becomes something like, you know, you have like you start having to make a certain thing for a certain amount of money and then all of a sudden more people got their hands in it and then there's less money to help with other things and then next thing you know, that all kind of goes by the wayside.
Yeah, not with me because, you know, like with my partner, my investor,
mm-hmm.
and I was thrilled to have a partner investor. But even though I wanted him to be my partner, the first thing I said, this purpose is so important to me that it has to be important to you or we can't be partners.
Right.
And he shared a story that his mother has a mental illness and he grew up with that and how he helped her. So he was all for it. So I knew right there and then he was going to be a great partner, which he is.
Nice. You had to have that conversation.
We had it before I even took him on as a partner that this charity that I want to start is important to me through the product.
That's awesome. Well, and that takes, you know, I have a partner too, and he's like, we need to make sure we know where all that money's going. I'm like, hey, man, I got it.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to make sure that everybody's on the up and up. And I think that's really where the challenge starts to become is if you start to make money, you know, feelings start to show up.
Yeah, you know, I know that won't, you know, that's funny. My son said to me, in his exact words, a year or so ago, he goes, are you going to become a rich snob? And I'm like, absolutely not. I will be grounded. I will stay true to who I am. I will be humble. I have always been that way. Money is not going to change me.
We'll see.
Nope, never.
We're gonna keep our eye on you because I'm the same way. And that's kind of what I do. Oh, I know when I become rich, I'm gonna stay the same way. But you know, I've yet to ever become rich. But I also look back, And that's funny because I've kind of had to redefine what happiness is and what richness is. And, you know, when I was living in San Diego in a one-bedroom efficiency apartment, I had nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was headed nowhere. And luckily, my parents said, come with us. We're going to Delaware. And I said, okay. If I hadn't, it wouldn't have turned out well, I don't think. And got to come back here. And, you know, I don't have any money. But from what I used to have, you know, I'm a millionaire.
You took the words out of my mouth. And that's the truth.
So redefining what happiness is, redefining what, you know. And, you know, sometimes I'll expect something without doing the work. And I did that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to tie what I have to the amount of work that I do. And that tends to keep me a little bit more focused and grounded and I also gave up on just being rich. I mean, like I said, I drove up in a car. You know, I met you at my salon. We're sitting here doing podcasts. I mean, how much better does it need to be?
Hey, you have to enjoy life. Money's not going to make you happy.
No, because I'm the kind of guy, listen, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
You give me a dollar, I want two.
Exactly.
Take two, I'm jumping off a bridge. You know, it's like, you know, you tell me I did a great job, I want to be a president of the company. Tell me I did a bad job and I want to go jump off a bridge.
Exactly.
You know, I don't have a middle like, oh. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm working on that, but, you know, it's always changing.
And I have friends that have money and they're not happy. I mean, to me, being rich is being happy and having that family and having the life you want to live. Money's just paper.
Exactly. Do you see having a storefront or do you see like?
No, I see myself not a storefront. Okay. I'm going to be, our next step, once we get, you know, into the manufacturing, we're going to, Ulta looked at us.
Okay.
So now
aren't
that.
Aren't they the marijuana people?
Ulta? It's a beauty cosmetic store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that's a store. There's a product. Maybe it's Ulta.
Ulta. Ulta.
No, the this
beauty
is a different
It's
one.
A beauty There's store, and it's a. They have a lot of stores around the United States. They did look at Boobalicious,
mm-hmm.
And once we have, you know, the manufacturing place, we're going to reach out to them again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to, I mean, because once, if you got something and they like it, they're mm-hmm. going to want a lot of it.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. you can't just say, hey, I got a couple, what do you think of it? And they're like, well, bring me 1,000 and we'll have a chat.
Exactly. Well, you know, we just went Amazon Prime, so I made hundreds of Boobalicious, and within 24 hours of being on Amazon Prime, we're selling.
Did you sell out of them?
Not sold out, but okay. We've been selling them within 24 hours, but every day I get a sale.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're doing okay.
Are you packing it yourself?
I'm doing everything myself.
Nice. We were talking about Tiffany. I do a podcast with her called Full Send, which posts every day on Wednesdays. So tune in later for that podcast.
I will.
But we're going to start selling coffee cups, coffee mugs, you know, because we do it's a coffee review podcast.
That's great.
And I'm like, well, we might have to package these ourselves. I can imagine, you know, like, put it in a bubble wrap, put it in a package.
It's a lot of work. You know, I'm working part-time now, but I was working full-time and, you know, with 3 children, 2 with addiction, and doing Boobalicious. So, you know, I don't give up. You just keep going. You just do it.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's called myboobalicious.com.
www.myboobalicious.com. All one word.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook?
Boobalicious Breast Deodorant.
That's your Facebook page?
Mm-hmm.
Instagram?
At Boobalicious Products.
Do you do like your story every day?
You know, I just like invested in myself. I'm taking this program called Star Power, who Hank Norman is the producer of The View, and he mentors Steve Harvey. And I've been communicating with him. And he said, for me to get my brand out there, I have to put myself out there, which I don't like doing that. I know a lot of my friends don't want to put themselves out on Facebook. You're afraid of the negative comments, you know, look at her. But for the last month, I've been putting myself out there, telling my story, interviewing women on my Facebook Live. And, you know, you can't worry about what anyone thinks. I'm doing this for a purpose. I'm not doing this for me.
Yeah, I always say if they're saying something, at least they're saying something.
Exactly.
Well, but, you know, there's, you know, when we got in the podcast game, we're having to, you know, like I just gave you that call to action. When we do this, when we post your podcast, we're going to need you to share it, post it.
I'm sharing
it on
your everything.
Facebook.
Absolutely.
And what I'm finding is, and I'm actually kind of digging it, you know, there's that Instagram story. You can kind of take a picture, and then you can add some words and add like a countdown and, you know, all this fun stuff. But they say you need to do that every day.
You need to do it every day.
And
it's a lot of work.
For people like you and I who are, you know, older, it's not in our wheelhouse, really. You know, it's not what we grew up with.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, it's getting out of our comfort zone.
It is.
But that's been fine.
I've been doing it. You know, I've been posting everything almost every day. And the story thing, I'm just learning on Instagram. So,
well, all you do is go to that top camera. You know, bring up your Facebook page for your business and look in the top. And there's a little camera icon. Tap it. And then at the bottom, it'll say photos. Bring up a photo. You know, if you want to use a certain photo, take the certain photo so it's in your photos. Tap that camera. Bring up the photos. And then it'll come up. And then you can tap the letters and add words, you know, another satisfied client, you know, another great testimonial, or, you know, whatever clever little thing you want to figure out. You know, add some silly stuff to it and then add to your story. Yeah. And then you'll see, like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people liked it, looked at it at least, you know, and that's kind of what it's, you know, just keeping them, keeping you in their minds.
Exactly.
And, well, that's cool. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on. I had a, you know, like I told you before, I didn't know what to expect. So this was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so
much. And I love like I said, I love the story.
Thank you.
And it's really about if someone's sitting at home right now going, gosh, I want to start a business. They can listen to your story and say, look, you know, with hard work and determination, anybody can do anything.
Anybody
that they
can
want.
Do it. Absolutely. They can reach out to me and I'll even show them what I did or tell them what I did.
Do you have, you want to put out your email, or how can people reach you?
Boobalicious.
Okay.
I, the letter I, like IV, and then V is in Victor, boobaliciousiv@gmail.com.
Okay. And I'll put that in the description.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, listen, thank you.
Thank you.
I always say anybody that hangs out with me for an hour is mucho appreciation, because you could probably be doing something more productive, but you chose to hang out with me, so I appreciate it.
No, this is important to me as well, so thank you.
All right, dear. Well, have a great day, and it is beautiful, and go dry some boobs up.
Will do.
All right, dear. See ya.